Okay, yesterday we spoke about mikvah, nine kabin, swimming pools, oceans, and all that. One more thing about, not about mikvah, but about the suda in the morning. We learned that in Erev Yom Kippur it's a mitzvah to eat. So the way the old Yiddish custom is, or the present Yiddish custom is, you have two big meals on Erev Yom Kippur. One late morning, so to speak, where you eat, dip the challah in honey. You don't need two challahs, but you eat challah, you dip the challah in the honey. You eat, it says in Halacha, you should eat light foods that don't cause you to become, have an emission on Yom Kippur, because that's not a good thing. So it says in the morning, you have chicken, fish, meat, but in fact, it's brought down Halacha, you should eat fish in the first meal, but Suda Mafsekis, the second meal that you eat right before the fast, it says in Halacha you shouldn't eat fish because it's going to make you thirsty and other things. So you don't eat fish. The minig is, the Matafraim brings down, you only eat fish by the first meal in the morning. You don't eat fish by the second meal. So in other words, like this, you have a meal, you come home from shul, whatever. Later in the morning, you have a suda. Many people have a minig of eating kreplach. What kreplach? Kreplach is dough, I mean, meat covered with dough. And there's Kabbalistic reasons for it, and whatever. There's a reason you eat kreplach. So you have a whole fleishik, like a Shabbos meal. You have challah and honey, and you eat fish and chicken or meat, and then whatever else you want to eat. Then, in the afternoon, before mincha, so then, there's three things you do. There's malchus, you get lashes, and mikvah, and then mincha. And that's the proper order of doing it. First you get whipped, then you go to mikvah, and then you go to daven mincha. Now in the good old days, in normal situations, many people, and that's our custom in fact, that Erev Yom Kippur, we go three times to the mikvah. An Erev Yom Kippur. Once in the morning, either before kaparis or before shachris, and then once before mincha. And the third time we have a minig, again, this year is a whole different situation. But then there's a minig after Suda Mafsekis, right before Kol Nidre, again you go to the mikvah. So you're supposed to get malchus and then go to mikvah. Now what's malchus, the concept of malchus? The one before mincha is the most important. If you have one of the three, you go before mincha. What?
You're being asked this year, what are you answering?
What I just said yesterday.
I missed it, sorry.
Oh, we discussed it, the Tisha B'av, the swimming pools, oceans. I'm not going through the whole thing, it was the whole class. You can listen.
Yeah.
LA Pico for Rosh Hashanah. Well, the men's mikveh is closed. For Rosh Hashanah, it's for sure going to be closed. For Yom Kippur, we don't know yet. We'll see.
Swimming pool for men is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we said that, yes. I'm not going through the whole thing again. Now, the concept of lashes, that is customary to give lashes, is in case we did sins, that you'd normally get lashes in the Malkus in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So by getting Malkus, even though it's symbolic Malkus, Erev Yom Kippur, it's considered that we should tell God basically, in case I needed Malkus, I got it already. Now the way Malkus works, according to our custom, is the person that's getting whipped gets down on all four with his face north. So you face north, not north, but I'm saying you face north. And then, if this is the back of the person, okay, the guy's, this is the head. So you go like this, one, two, three, okay? And while you're doing it, you say the pasuk, "Vahu rachum yichaper oven v'lo yashkes v'ibra lo shivapa v'lo yorek kol chamosik," and you say it three times. So you go right, "Vahu rachum yichaper oven v'lo yashkes v'ibra lo shivapa v'lo yorek kol chamosik." Vahu rachum yichaper. Just continue where you left off. Both the guy that whips and the guy getting whipped, both of them are supposed to say that pasuk, "Vahu rachum." Now before mincha, it's proper appropriate to give a lot of tzedakah. The Baal Shem Tov said that when you put the money in the pushka, the noise of the coins gets rid of a lot of evil. Gets rid of a lot of evil. But that's only Erev Yom Kippur, not on a regular day. Erev Yom Kippur, you get rid of the klipa. In fact, the Rebbe used to come down to Mincha. It took like 15, 20 minutes. By the time the Rebbe started coming down until he got to his place, there were like hundreds and hundreds of tzedakah, pushkas, and plates, and you know, every organization. And the Rebbe came down with a sack of change. And the Rebbe would go to each pushki, put whatever, and it wasn't with specific amount, just to all the guys. It took, it was hundreds and hundreds of guys. It took, by the time he came down, until he got the seat, it was 10, 15 minutes. Okay, now, Mincha, Erev Yom Kippur is a very important tefillah. Now, at Mincha Erev Yom Kippur, we do vidui. We confess the sins, Oshamnu and Alchet and the whole thing. Now, Shulchan Aruch says something very interesting. The real time for confession is right before Yom Kippur. Right before Yom Kippur is the main time you're supposed to do confession. Why do we do, listen to this, Shulchan Aruch says, why do we do it at Mincha? Because, God forbid, you might choke on the food that you can eat by the Suda Mafsekes, and you might die, God forbid, and then you won't be able, you won't have confession. So therefore, the minig is universally throughout the world. Mincha Erev Yom Kippur is a regular mincha, except this is a whole long, you know, the Shabnos and Dalchets and all of that. The Chazan, the repetition, doesn't repeat them, because it's not part of the in the actual Yom Kippur week, the Chazan repeats the Alchetz. Now, when a person does that or Shamnos, and this applies during the year also, a Shamnos or Alchet, says in Halacha you're supposed to bend down a little bit, like a Shamno, Bagadno, Gavalno, not stand up like this. You're supposed to bend down a little bit, not like, you know, just a little bit down. So a Shamno, Bagadno, Gavalno. And Alchet Shechatanu, not Alchet, Alchet Shechatanu. Because he's saying that, like we say in Shmonesi, Slach lo anu vinu ki chotanu. You hear it by chotanu. So when you say Alchet, you also bend down a little bit, by the way, and you say Alchet Shechatanu lefanecha, Alchet Shechatanu lefanecha, not Alchet, because that doesn't make sense. You're saying Shechatanu, that we sin, the heart is the source of sin, because the heart desires. So that's how you're supposed to do it. Now, what happens many times, people are davening very long, and the chazan starts the repetition. And you're in the middle of the alchet or the ashamnus. So what do you do? So the halacha is, if the chazan starts the repetition, when the chazan gets to kedusha, you answer like you would in the middle of a lakai nitzor, which means you say kaddish, Baruch and Yimlech, without rebels. You don't say Nagdishoch and the Kaddish, but you say Kaddish, 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 and Baruch and Hashem Kerim and Yimlech Hashem Leilam. Those whole phrases that you answer, even if you're in the middle of the Alchet, you stop when the Chazan gets there, and then you say it. Okay, next. Because at Ne'ilah, we don't say Al-Chayt at Ne'ilah either. Because Ne'ilah is the time of Yechidah Shebenefesh, the essence of the Jew is revealed at Ne'ilah, and there's no sins at that time. That's the essence of the Jew with the essence of God. So there's no more Ashamnus, what?
Just in case I missed that, so I think I'll be ahead.
What? I don't hear you.
Thank you.
Yeah? Normally there's a din that a person is not allowed to confess their sins in public. There's a din. I can't go around saying I did this and this sin, because it's a desecration of God's name. basically, I'm saying, hey, God, I didn't listen to you. Guess what? I'm publicly saying, hey, God, I didn't listen to you. So how do we say public confession on Yom Kippur? So it says, because everybody's doing it. So it's not that I personally sinned against God. Everybody, it's a communal type of confession. And by the way, Ashamnu Baganu goes according to the Aleph Beis. Ashamnu Baganu goes on the Alchei, it's a double Aleph Beis. Alchei Shechotan Lefenecha Beim Etzaratz and Beim Etzalev. It goes the double Aleph Beis. Now, what you're asking is it okay to do something that people might misinterpret? It depends what you're doing. If it's something that needs to be done, yes, it has to be done, even if people will misinterpret it, because you have to do it. It has to be done. If it's something that doesn't necessarily have to be done, and it'll be perhaps misinterpreted by people, then you have to ask a shaila if that particular thing should be done or not. I'll give you an example. Chabad people, really everybody should be doing this, goes out into the street and puts on tefillin with people. Now, a lot of people look very crudely on that. By the way, the religious Jews do. But they're the ones that have a hard time with stopping the guy. So therefore, we shouldn't do it because the Jew needs to put on tefillin, right? You have to connect the Jew to God. People are if you have a chance, explain it to them. But certain things that we need to do, you can't think of what people are going to say. We learned in Pirkei Avos, Salyevish Mibnei HaMaligim, the first din is you can't, that you don't embarrass the scoffers.
So there's no such concept as Marit Ayin in reverse.
Again, it depends. If somebody is doing something that needs to be done, for instance, the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda b'Rav Yecheskel, the famous Rav Yehuda, was a student of Rav and Shmuel, he said, if I buy meat from a butcher in a city where he doesn't give credit, but to me he gives credit, it's a desecration of God's name. Why? Because somebody will see I'm taking meat and I'm not paying for it. What will this person think? And the butcher doesn't give anybody credit. COD. So this guy, now I'm not doing anything wrong because the butcher is giving me credit. But if that, you're not allowed to do. And that's the din, it's Chil Hashem. That's what he said. If I would do that, it would be desecration of God's name. Not that he did anything wrong. So Chil Hashem in Halacha is not so much what you do, it's the way people perceive it. But that's only when you're not doing something that you have to do. If you have to daven in an airport and you have to put on towels and tefillin, and people will make fun or think tough luck, then you can't think about what people are going to do. Okay, next. Then you go home and you have the Suda Mafsekis, again, which is a meal with challah dipped in honey, and you eat the rest of the things. Now, the night of Yom Kippur, you have candle lighting, and then you have sundown. So when a woman benches licht, she lights candles at licht bench and lighting Shabbos candle or Yom Tov candle. So then, for her, the fast begins. If a person is eating Suda Mafsekis and he still wants to eat afterwards, a drink afterwards, he has to have in mind when he finishes the meal that he's still planning to eat. Because if not, once he finishes the meal, halachically, that means in his mind, okay, I'm done eating, then the fast starts, even if it's early. So if he's planning to eat, he should mentally think, I want to eat or drink. What?
What bracha does the woman
drink
on the
Shabbos? Lahad and Shechianu. Well, Chabad custom is Lahad dekner shayyem azikorim. Shabbos v'yem azikorim. Machad shin is a mazimah, 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 mazimah